Father, we thank you tonight that we can be in your presence, God, and we don't have to do anything, Lord. We can just be and experience you, Lord, and we just want to give our lives to you again tonight, Lord, as living sacrifices. God, come and change us, Lord. We need you in our lives, God. We desperately need you, Lord, and we thank you that this is just a celebration again of what you have done on the cross, Lord, that tonight is just a celebration again of the cross and of the fullness, Lord, that what we experience tonight is all because of you, Jesus, and we thank you tonight for that. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you that we can have church, Lord. Thank you that we can be in a free country, Lord, where we're not persecuted, Lord. We don't have to go underground or, Lord, be very secretive, Lord, about our faith. We thank you that we can shout from the rooftops this evening, Lord, that Jesus is King. And that you rule and you reign, Lord. And we don't always recognize that. We don't always realize that, Lord. We sometimes just go on with life as if you're just somewhere out there, Lord. But we thank you that you are in our midst, God. And you're ruling and reigning in every part of our lives, God. And we want to submit to your rule tonight, Lord. We want to submit to your fullness, God. To your perfect presence and your perfect peace in our lives. We thank you that there's none like you, Jesus. We need you tonight. We ask that you would speak to us as well tonight, Lord. I thank you even right now that you are speaking to people very specifically. I just sense the Lord is saying to some people tonight that he's so pleased that you're here and he's drawing you back to his presence. He's calling you back. I just saw a picture of Jesus just with his arms open wide and he's just saying to some people, come. Maybe you've allowed circumstances to draw you away from God and Jesus just says, forget about those circumstances. Forget about what you see. But see tonight, just Jesus sitting on his throne, but he's almost coming down and he's saying, come, come up here, come with me. I want to take you by the hand. I want to draw you into my presence. Because sometimes we want to run away from the Lord. And he's saying to certain people tonight, stop running away from me. Stop feeling condemned. I've washed away all your sins. I've made provision for every shortcoming in your life, every weakness that you're so focusing on and you're so wanting to sort it out. And the Lord just says tonight, come to me. I will give you rest. Come to me. I will change you. Don't try to do it yourself. Just come. Come, says the Lord. Lord, thank you that we can just respond to your voice in our lives right now. Just allow the Lord to speak to you in whichever way you experience him. But allow him to speak to you specifically about your circumstances, about where you're at in your life right now. Allow him to just even take you up to a place where you can get a bit of perspective again. Because sometimes life gets so rushed and we get caught up with just our daily chores and our daily to-do lists. But God just wants to take us up to a higher place right now, just to get perspective on life again. Thank you, Lord, that we can lay aside all our plans and our things, God, that we have put our minds to, and just allow you to show us what's important for you, Lord, what's priority for you. Even, Lord, before the term starts, God, we don't want to just rush into this term, Lord, into the semester with our own plans, God, and our own desires, Lord. But we want you to come and show us, Lord, what are your desires, Lord? What do you desire most? What do you want us to see, Lord? Because we recognize tonight, Lord, that we many times miss it, God. We're running around, Lord, and doing all sorts of things. But, Lord, we want you to come and give us your perfect plan, Lord. And that we can even say no to some things that are shouting so loudly. Say no to certain urgent things that seem to grab our attention, but tonight we just want to say yes to your call on our lives. Yes to your call on taking us to a place where we're seated in Christ. So we just praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you that you're speaking to us and that we can also respond to your voice. I just sense the Lord wants us, even in this week, to practice just his presence, practicing just worshiping him and just allowing him to speak to us. Because many times we come to God with our prayer lists and our desires and our needs, and it's so desperate, and God just says, just come and be in my presence and I will show you. I will show you what I want to show you. Don't try to figure it out. Just come to me and worship me and be still and I will speak to you. The word of the Lord says that we are his sheep. We can hear his voice. And I just sense even some people are struggling to hear God's voice. And the Lord says he wants to break that over your life. He wants to change that, where you can hear his voice again, where you've got a clear frequency, where you're tuned in. There's not all the noise, but you can hear his clear, still, small voice. So I thank you tonight, Lord. I thank you that we can submit to your leading in our lives and your voice. That you are the great shepherd, Lord. We praise you tonight. Just as the band continues to play, you guys are welcome to take your seats. I would just like you to just turn to the person next to you, or yeah, just in groups of two. I would just like you to quickly just say to the person next to you what you're so thankful for what the Lord is doing in your life or what He's done in your life, and then just to pray and just to say thank you to God for that thing in your life. So just turn to someone next to you if you feel comfortable and just share quickly what are you so thankful for at the moment in your life, and then just to say to God thank you. So just share it with the person and then pray together. Just quickly, 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. Whatever, maybe something happened in the holidays, maybe you've got a testimony, but don't share the whole testimony with the person. Just say to them quickly what you're thankful for, and then just pray to God and quickly say thank you to the Lord. It's so important that we come in thanksgiving. So let's do that. 2 or 3 minutes. Just say to the person what you're thankful for at the moment. If you can't think of anything, it's fine, but we've always got things to be thankful for. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We're just so thankful, Lord, that we can know you and that you're an awesome God, Lord. And we give you thanks tonight. We give you a thanks offering and a praise offering for the goodness, the mercies, Lord, the everlasting love that you showed towards us and that your favor is upon us, Lord. I thank you for every testimony, God, in this place. And Lord, I pray that we will not keep these testimonies to ourselves, Lord, that we will testify to the world of your goodness and who you are in our lives, Lord. We thank you tonight. We praise you. Lord, receive our thanks tonight. We thank you that you are an awesome God. We bless you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Sure, guys, welcome to the house of the Lord. It's so good to have many of you back. It's been an amazing holiday. Some of us went to Zambia. We're the Zambia team. Anyone of the team? Yeah, a couple of them are, yeah, or half of them are, yeah. For those of you who don't know, we did go to Zambia for 10 days. We were 5 days on the road traveling, and the other 5 we spent at the FCE headquarters. But you'll hear more about that in 2 weeks' time, so please come. The outreach service on the 29th is also going to be the feedback service of the mission team, so please bring friends. We're really going to have fun in the Lord's house that night, having testimonies as well from a few of the mission team members, and just to give some photos and a video just of what the Lord did through our lives and in our lives. But just to tell you one story, I did tell it last week. So for those of you, I'm sure Tian's going to wait for me to just mention this. But I was called an interesting name halfway through the mission, because we went to the school, and then the kids asked, sort of, we sort of started to just chat with the kids, and then we said to them, okay, but what do you want to know about us? Because we sort of asked them questions and everything, and then we said, okay, what do you want to know about us? So they sort of thought a little bit, and then they decided, okay, well, let's ask them. We want to know now from you guys, what is your favorite food? So we were about 3 or 4 people standing in front of the class, and the one person said, no, I like to eat pizzas and all these things. And then another guy was actually Martin, Voss Martin, no, also. Then Martin says, before Martin spoke, I said, no, I like to eat, you know, braai vleis, red meat. That's my favorite. And then they said, no, cool. And then Martin said, no, I like to eat pasta. And then there were sort of these blank looks on the people's faces, and then he sort of asked them, but now, do you guys know what pasta is? And the one little kid, he like thought for a while, and he says, yes, yes, I know the pasta. I know the pasta in the church. So after that, guess what my name was called the rest of the missions? I was called Pasta. So you might hear that in the next few weeks until it sort of fades away, Netians. Yeah. Okay, but we had a really great time, and you'll hear about that in 2 weeks' time. So please come for that meeting, and also please come for the, or please save the date for the conference, guys. Please, I would really like to encourage you to come to the Shofar conference. It's an awesome opportunity to get to know the other Shofar people and just to see what's happening in Stellenbosch. They're really preparing great things for us. So please make it. You know, let's sort of do lifts together or buy plane tickets if you've got lots of money, but just get down to Stellenbosch on the 27th of September, please. I really want to appeal to you guys. The Lord is busy speaking to us. For those of you who are visiting, just bear with us. You're very welcome this evening, but I'm just carrying on with just the theme That God is busy speaking to us at the moment about. He wants us to really make Him our home. And last week I started off by saying that everyone's invited. If you guys didn't get the message, please download the sermon. It is on the website. I would really like us to also catch up, those who weren't here. But this week I just want to carry on with that same theme. It's the second part of this thing called biblical hospitality. We're just talking about making God a home, and not only a house, you know, but really making Him a home. Because God is a father, and He doesn't only want a family, He actually wants a home as well. Because any father would know, like myself, we, and Cameron and Colleen will bear with me on this one, they were put out of their house for a while because of circumstances, and it's not nice not to have a physical house. It's quite nice to also stay with friends every now and again, but you can only do it for so long, and then you want your house, you want a physical space. So any father wants a house for his children, or a home, more than just a house, because a house can just be a physical building, but a father wants a home. And that is what God, I believe, is speaking to us at this stage about, is that He wants us to be a home. And how do we do that? First of all, we obviously, His heart is open to everyone, and that's what I talked about last week. He's a great father. He wants many children, and His heart is always open. So, but then He wants us to be the invitation. He doesn't extend the invitation by, He does do that supernaturally at times, but He wants us to be the invitation to invite people. So that's the first part, is the whole thing about invitation. And the second part I want to talk about tonight is the thing of preparation. And specifically, I titled my sermon, Preparing the Holy Space. Now, I want to ask you a question to start off with. I want to ask you, what are you doing to make God feel like a king? I'll say that again. What are you doing to make God or Jesus feel like a king? Like a king. Not that God has a personality crisis at all. He's very secure in Himself. He's very okay with Himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's three in one. He's very secure in who He is. But I want to ask you, what are you doing to make God feel like a king? Interesting question. So just think about that for a while. You don't have to answer it now, but you can think about that. And as you go through the sermon, as you wade through it after I've finished, and you go through it this week, and I trust we'll go through it in the small groups and just discuss this. But first of all, I want to read this amazing scripture in John 14. Jesus says the following. He says that there is more than enough room in my Father's home. And I was speaking to the disciples. The disciples are stressing out, Jesus, you're going away. Where are you going? Why are you going? We so enjoy being with you. And then He says, listen, yeah, just believe. In verse 1, He says, just believe. And then He says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Jesus wasn't shaken by the fact that He had to go, because He knew that He had a purpose to go. He had a purpose to prepare a place for us. He had a purpose in going to the Father. And it's amazing that Jesus, right at this stage, do you know that He's busy praying for you right now? Do you know that? Ronel, where did it? Esther, do you know that? Johnny, David, Miranda, Tiens, Cameron, Ter, Mika, William, Anna Mika, Sonia, Merva, Amal van julle, do you know that Jesus is praying for you right now? He knows your every need. Isn't that amazing? He knows the things that you're going through right now. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows your frustrations, your fears, your doubts. He knows everything. He's busy praying for you right now. But you see, He's also not only praying for you, He's preparing a home for you. And for me, He's preparing an amazing home for us. And He says, yeah, there's more than enough room in my Father's home. And that's why I had to go away. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this verse, he says, Christ's preparations shall never be in vain. He will not build and furnish lodgings and let them stand empty. He will be the finisher of that which He is the author. If He has prepared the place for us, He will prepare us for it. And in due time, put us in possession of this place. It's amazing. God is busy preparing a place for us, but at the same time, He's busy preparing us for this house, for this amazing lodging that we're going to experience. But you see, it's also important for us to understand that we are never waiting for God. God is always waiting for us. God is never unprepared. He's never caught by surprise. He's always many steps ahead of us, many steps ahead of the devil, many steps ahead of everyone else. God is never caught unawares. Isn't that good news for us tonight? Isn't that good news that we can just trust Him with our lives? He's not shaken by our emotions. He's not shaken by how we feel or how we experience life. He is so in control. And you see, God is always prepared. And sometimes for us, we, you know, especially as charismatics, we tend to just, you know, sort of float in and out, and the Spirit must just make things happen on the spur of the moment, and we sort of just go through life just randomly waiting for things to happen. And there is a place for that, but you know what? God wants us also to start to be prepared. Because you see, He's waiting for us, and He's saying, listen, I've given you the keys, I've given you the tools. So start to prepare yourself, start to allow me to prepare you, but allow me to speak to you. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, He says the same thing. He says, this is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Isn't that amazing? And that talks about the gospel, the full gospel that already we have come to know in part. We're not going to know fully at this stage. But we know, we've seen how the gospel has changed our lives. But guess what? One day we're going to be changed in the twinkle of an eye. One day we're going to be made perfect. And the redemption of our bodies, these earthly bodies, these weak bodies of ours will be made complete. That is what the Word is talking here about. It talks about the next verse says, but the Spirit of God has revealed it to us. And the Spirit of God is starting to reveal to us more and more as we seek the wisdom of God, as we tap into the wisdom of God. But the truth is here, is that God has prepared stuff that we are, it's going to blow our minds one day. Have you thought about eternity? Have you thought about the home that God is preparing for us at this moment? He's excited to meet us. He's excited to see us face to face and to have us change. But you see, the change process has already started. Our salvation has already started when we're born again, when we give our lives to the Lord. And maybe tonight you've never given your life to the Lord. Maybe you need to start that process. And it's the most exciting journey that you'll be on, to start that process where you start to get to know God on amazing levels, amazing ways. So you see, the Spirit of God starts to reveal it. And one day, when we get to heaven, we are going to be changed just because we're going to be awestruck, first of all, of just what we see, what has been prepared for us. Because our minds cannot fathom it now. We can try and think about it, and you know what? We'll never work it out. It's just, I don't know about you, but when I start to think about eternity, you start to think about it, and then you just sort of start to think about the world again. Because it's so difficult to think about it. You cannot fathom it. It's just something that's beyond our understanding, beyond our ear, our eye, our mind. Our natural beings, our natural minds cannot fathom these things. And even our experience of the Spirit at this stage, it's too far. But you know what? The Bible says that God is, Jesus is preparing and He's praying for us, and He can't wait to meet us. So it's something to be excited about. Okay? But guess what? The Lord wants us to do the same thing here on earth. He wants us to start to prepare a home for Him where people can experience Him, where people can experience the fullness of who God is. So that is what God wants, I believe, for us as a church. So He's always prepared. God is prepared. But the question is, are we? Are we prepared? And how are we preparing a place here, right here on earth, that God can really make Himself at home, that God can feel at home, that He can feel, this is, I want to dwell in this house. I want to meet people. I want to be excited about people. And God is. But you know what? He's waiting for us also to get on His page. So this evening, I just want to speak about a few things of this whole thing of physical space. Because you know what? Sometimes we think, you know, we have church in weird places. We'll have church like, you know, outside, under a tree, or just, you know, in funny places. We sort of think that's cool to have church. And it's not a problem. It's not bad. But God wants us to get serious about the physical space that we're in. God wants us to prepare like a home. If you go to anyone's house, they're not just going to have random, you know, beds all over the place, and the sitting room, two couches are here, and the one is there, and there's just sort of the kitchen, you sort of go to the bathroom as part of the kitchen, and it's all just random. It's very specifically designed and prepared. Every room has its function. Every, you know, and the house is welcoming. I trust that most of our houses are like that. I mean, when I go to my parents' house, it's just awesome to be, and I mean, obviously now I've got my own home, but you know, when I go home, or when I used to go home before I was married, it was just so nice to go home. Now, as a student, you guys will know, when you go home, it's just awesome to have a home. You go there and you can just relax, and you know, there's food in the fridge, there's, everything is there for you, you just can relax. And some of you have had this experience now for 4 weeks. You've been in your parents' house, you've just chilled and vegged and enjoyed life. But you see, that there was a home prepared for you, there was a bed for you, there was stuff. You were welcomed in that house. You were made to feel, you're the guest of honor. But you see, sometimes when it comes to physical space in church, we just think, oh, we can have church anywhere, and we can just, you know, we're not really serious about the space that we're in. But the Lord wants us to prepare holy space Why? Because He wants us to create a change conducive in climate, a change conducive environment. And we'll see that now. So I want you to think of the event now. I really want you guys to come to the conference, because last year's conference, for those of you who were there, it was just amazing to be able to go into that hall with thousands of people, pretty much just over 1,000 people, worshiping God. But you sort of were welcomed at the door, and you got this little pack, and you got in, and you just saw this amazing, there's like screens all over the place, and just this atmosphere of, this is where God is, man. You sometimes want to be outside and chat to friends, but you just say to them, no, listen, I want to be inside, because God is there. God is doing something inside you. There's just a vibe and an atmosphere inside this place that you cannot miss out on. Now, I don't know if you guys have been to some events. Maybe you've been to these concerts, or, you know, you've been to a rugby match or a sports event, whatever, and you're just so excited to be in this atmosphere because there's just something happening. But the greatest events are where you sort of made to feel special, and you made to feel like, ooh, man, I belong here. I've been welcomed at the door. I'm really, you know, I can't miss out on this thing. And that is what God wants us in our lives to start to create in terms of our church services, in terms of our small groups, in terms of everything we do in church. And we'll get practical just now. And God wants us to be serious about holy space and preparing holy space, preparing a ground for Him to do what He wants to do and for Him to feel at home. So the first thing is what I've put five things here. The first thing that God, how must we prepare this holy space? First of all, why don't we do it sometimes? Because we don't really understand the significance of it. We think, it's not, you know, if we have just a sort of a church building like this, then that's fine. That's all we need. We can just have it like that and that's okay. We don't need to do anything. Church will just happen. We'll come in and out and... But you see, God wants us to understand the significance of having physical space and of preparing it and of creating this change conducive environment where people's eternal destiny can be changed. Where people can come in and they can never be the same again. When they leave, there's just something that touched home and they just were changed without us even saying anything, without even preaching. They need to come into the space and to change. So some people's eternal destiny is at stake when we have church, when we have small group, when we do things in terms of the kingdom. We need to get serious about the holy space that we need to prepare. And when I went to India a couple of years ago, we went into a shrine there. And like, you know, those weird shrines and those weird places are so consecrated. You get this feeling like, yeah, man, if I'm not spiritually switched on, if I'm not geared for this, I can be affected by the stuff that's going on in the spiritual place. Because it's like so charged with an atmosphere, which is obviously not the atmosphere of the gospel and the Holy Spirit. But you go into these, and these people understand consecrated space. They know you go to the mosques and so on. The Muslims understand this. No one's going to touch that thing of theirs, that building of theirs. Because it's like being consecrated for their purposes. And for us, sometimes our churches are just sort of, you know, if something happens to the school, we'll just have church somewhere else. We don't take ownership and get serious about what God has given us in terms of physical space. So you go there into the shrine and you just realize, hey man, I need to pray in the Spirit. I need to be switched on to the Lord here, because I could be affected by stuff if I'm not careful. Because this place has just got a spiritual atmosphere that's contrary to what the Lord wants to do. So you need to understand this. So the first thing is the significance of it. So I want to say to us this evening that this building that we've got in our small groups, our homes, where we have small group, where we have foundations, where we do stuff, we must start to say, Lord, show us how to prepare the space. Let us not just walk in and walk out and expect, you know, things to happen. We must start to get serious about preparation and about preparing it. But we'll see how to do this now. So that's the first thing, is just to understand the significance of preparing a holy space. You know, when God said to Joshua, you know, when the Lord took Joshua into the promise, or just before the promised land, Joshua met the angel, you know, there in Joshua chapter 5, I think it is, where the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts said, listen here, or Joshua said, who are you? Are you for us or against us? And Joshua, and Jesus, obviously, it was Jesus saying, listen here, I'm the commander of the army. And he said to Joshua, take off your sandals. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. And he was trying to say to Joshua, listen here, where you move now, you must understand the significance of consecrating holy space, you know, for me. But where you move, that's going to happen. You must start to say, Lord, this is your territory. I consecrate it. I take the space for you. I take ownership. I take possession. And consecrate that place that you are you are seeking the Lord's face and seeking the kingdom. And even in your quiet time, you need to go, if you go into a room every morning, just say, Lord, this is your space. Do what you have to do, yeah, Lord, but I consecrate the space to you. I give the space to you. I understand that this is significant space. And my whole house, Lord, is for you to do stuff in. Because sometimes weird things happen in our raises or in our houses. Why? Because we haven't saying, Lord, this is no demon, no evil stuff must prevail in this room of mine or in this place of mine. Because this is your place, Lord. I give it to you. So I'm already going on to my second thing. The second part, not only understanding the significance, but then start to prepare the spiritual atmosphere. How do you do that? Through prayer, through anointing, through consecration. I'll never forget the story. When I started to understand this stuff, I went home one day to the farm. My parents were still living in the main house. My brother's now in the main house. He's now the boss van die plaas. But my mom and dad were in the main house there, where I grew up and everything. And I came back one holiday. I was on fire for the Lord. And I came back and I just felt God saying to me, you must consecrate this house to me and for my purposes. And just anoint the four corners. Now, I heard a testimony in church of someone doing that. So I just felt the Lord saying that I must do this in my house. Because I feel like, you know, I know my parents don't know the Lord fully. But I'm just so excited to see them growing, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to see them also experience the Lord. And so I felt the Lord saying, just pray for the four corners of this house, this farmhouse of ours. So I go home, not all passionate. Now my parents, they're not so spiritually switched on. They, you know, very traditional, and you know, but they're very open for me, fortunately. Otherwise, they would have probably kicked me out, okay, if I did this stuff. But I get there, and I said, the first night, and I said, listen here, Mom and Dad, I just feel I want, have you got some oil in the house now? And it's like, yeah, we've got some oil. I said, I just want to anoint the four corners of our house and just, you know, just pray over our house and pray for the Lord's blessing and the Lord's favor and just, you know, whatever God wants to do. But I want to pray and anoint the four corners of this house. And so they said, oh, this is quite weird for us, but John gave me the oil. And but then they're like, I can see they're starting to now be or wonder what's going to happen here. So they're starting to get quite like, you know, suspicious of what weird stuff is he doing now and so on. But anyway, I just said, look, just relax. You can just walk behind me. I just want to pray at each corner of inside the house now. So I prayed in the one corner, went to the other corner. And they're walking behind me now, but they're almost like they're not saying anything. They're like just looking at this situation now. It was so funny. I was like sort of nervous as to how are they going to receive me or not. And it was so interesting. But anyway, so I prayed in the one corner, then I prayed in the next corner, and then in the third corner, and then the last corner was in their room. And so I pray in their room like that. But they I mean, you should have, if you had a camera or if you were a fly on the wall, it would have been such an interesting situation because their faces were like, their eyes were this big. They're seeing like, what am I doing now? But obviously I pray in tongues too much. And I just said, God, thank you for this house and thank you for their room and everything. And so I end off in their room and I pray like that. And they're standing there like, that, but the eyes are big and they just don't know what's happening here. But then I just turned to them, I walked to them and I just laid hands on them and they both just, you know, started to cry. And well, I could see, you know, my dad had tears in his eyes and my mom was crying. And just the blessing of God that came upon them at that time. And more than that, the blessing on that house and on that consecrated space. And I just felt the Lord saying, this place is going to be a blessing. This house is going to be protected against evil, against farm murders, whatever. I just said, Lord, let your will be done. Now to this day, my brother and his wife are serving the Lord, and he had an amazing experience with God a couple of years ago, and his life changed, and he's walking a path with the Lord, and his wife as well. So I just know, because, and he wasn't really serving the Lord before he got into that house, but when he got there, I just know God did something in the spirit that day when I prayed. And I said, Lord, this is your place. They don't know it, but this is your place, Lord. It belongs to you. Have your way, have your will in this place. And it's amazing when we start to take up that authority and we say, Lord, the spiritual atmosphere in this place, let it change. Let it start to glorify you. Let people start to experience you in this place. And that's what I trusted the Lord for. And I believe that we must consecrate every venue that we're in. So this hall, every Sunday, we cannot afford to have church on a Sunday here and we don't consecrate this place to the Lord. We cannot afford to have a Bible school meeting or a foundation or a cell group. So I want to say to you guys, consecrate spiritually, consecrate your cell groups and the venues where you're having cell group. If it's a different venue every week, fine, do it. If it's the same venue still, do it every week. But say, Lord, this place, the atmosphere in you, let it glorify you. Let people not, when they come with their issues, Lord, let it be sorted out. When they come with their frustrations, Lord, let your anointing come and change. people's lives. That's what I believe God is calling us to do. And I believe that it will have so much power and have so much influence in people's lives if we start to do it. So we must get ourselves bottles of oil. We must get ourselves shofars if we have. There's one there. Blow the shofars. Just celebrate and say, God, this is your place. Anoint the couches and the chairs and wherever people are going to be. Anoint the kettle that the coffee they drink will be blessed. You know, whatever you've got to do. But just say, Lord, this atmosphere in this place, this whole cubic meter space is all about you, Lord. Let your will be done. Because sometimes we go into venues and we don't know what's happened before. You know, sometimes when you go and stay in a hotel room or you go to a guest house, you must say to the Lord, Lord, this place is yours. I don't know what's happened here before, what weird stuff has taken place here. But Lord, tonight I want to sleep well. I want to take authority over the demons that want to give me nightmares or whatever. But you know, we need to start to get serious about physical space where we go. And especially our houses and our churches. And that's why I'm talking specifically to start off with about church and about this venue. So I want to say that I want to encourage you guys, come to pray before church on a Sunday. And then I want, you know, all the intercessors to just lay hands on these pews and lay hands on the doors and say, Lord, whoever comes through this door, let him be blessed. But say, Lord, the spiritual atmosphere is for you and your glory, God. Because then life starts to get exciting. Then we start to take ownership of what God wants us to do. Are you with me this evening? And then, as part of that, not only the spiritual atmosphere, but then very important, preparing the physical space. What does that mean? That means that we need to think about how can we make this place inviting to people? How can we make this place, you know, how can it convey a message of a sense of security where people can come in here and they're not going to think, ooh, sometime maybe that thing will fall down or maybe the heater will just cave in. Or, you know, we need to physically think of how can we make this place safe for people, first of all. And obviously most buildings are fairly safe. The wall's not going to just suddenly cave in. But not only that, we need to say, how are we going to make this place so that people can have an encounter with the Lord just by coming into the door and seeing, hey, something is happening here. Something's different. This is not just a building that's with four walls and, you know, maybe a toilet there around the side. This is a building it speaks of God's goodness. It speaks of God's design and His blessing. So we need to do design and planning. This doesn't just happen. You see, these things don't just happen. A building doesn't just get right for church. We need to make it right. We need to take authority and say, Lord, first of all, show us, and then physically, how must we do this? So guess what I'm talking about tonight? A bit of ergonomics. Some people think, yes, why? This is so not spiritual. But you know what? It's so spiritual. Physically preparing a building where we say, how are we going to make it more comfortable? So guess what? We've got a bit of a challenge here because these things aren't very comfortable. Are you guys sitting comfortably tonight? Not really. We can make it a bit softer. Eh? We can get some cushions or whatever. Just trying to throw ideas out there. But you see, this is maybe not, I don't think this is good enough for God. God doesn't just want us to sit in church and do the same old. He wants us to make this place exciting and vibey. So I just want to get the creative people thinking of it. Because you know what, I'm not like that. This is a big challenge for me. Because I'm happy to have things calculated and perfect and let's have them like that for eternity. I just know it's a controlled environment, engineer. Let's just keep it closed and nice and controlled. And we just know what it's, you know, what's going to happen. But no, we need to make things a little bit more creative. God is a creative God. So guess what? There is a creative team that is starting to get underway. And I'm so excited because I didn't ask someone for this. Someone came to me and said they want to make this place a bit more vibey. So guess what? You guys don't have to start it. Someone has started it. You just need to get involved and get connected with the right person. Because physically this building is going to look a little bit different to what it's looking tonight. That is my heart and I believe that's God's heart. Because He wants people to come in here and see, yes, man, there's, and you know, we've got flowers and it's awesome, okay? But I mean, we can do a bit better than that. We can do a bit better. We can change the PowerPoints every now and again. And we've tried to. I don't think we're that bad. I'm not saying we're bad. But still, I think in the foyer there, we can do awesome things in this church, physically, with a physical building. We need to say, this is our building. And you know what? God has been so good to us to give us this church. You know how awesome it is not to have to set up all this stuff every Sunday, that when we walk in here, stuff is here. But you know what that creates sometimes? It creates a sense of, okay, we don't really have to do much. It's all here, so we just plug in and play. And then it makes us a little bit, you know, we get lethargic of it and lazy. But you know, when you have to set this up every week, it sort of, it keeps you on your toes. And then you start thinking, oh, seeing as we are here, let's put something up there. Let's put something up there. Let's make this place nice. But we can still do that because we've got so much more time. We don't have to set all this up. We can start to set other stuff up. And I'm not saying we have to do it every week, okay? But let us really make this place physically special for people, that someone can come in here and say, hey man, the toilet has at least been flushed. There's toilet paper. There's the bathrooms are looking, quite nice. I mean, you get what I'm saying here. I mean, we can do so much to really make people feel special. And I'm not saying you guys don't. I mean, I trust you are feeling special already, because at least we're having church, okay? At least there's a shofar in Bloemfontein. That's a start. So we're not going to get it perfect this year even. But for the next 6 months, this is like a little project. Because if we're going to invite people, guess what? We must be excited about what we're inviting people to. Because I believe that's sometimes why we don't always invite people to church. Is because church is same old, But how can we make church? And obviously for me, in my sermons, I've got to get creative as well. I've got to, trust the Lord to give me ideas, that not to try and please people. The gospel is still the gospel. But let us make church. And we're going to do this together. You'll see my next point. But before I go on to the next one, the shopping malls have got this right. Wouldn't you guys agree? If you go to a shopping mall, don't you feel quite sort of at home there at times? If you haven't got aircon in your house on a hot summer's day in Bloemfontein, you know what? You go to Loch Logan or Mimosa Mall, and man, the aircon is set perfectly. It's like this, I can be at home here, And it gives you that sense of security. But you know what it actually does? It makes you feel, hey, I must now shop. And obviously that is their motive. We'll talk now about the motives of our hearts. But you see, the shopping mall's motives are just to make you give them your money to them. That's all they want. But they create an environment where you feel, hey, I can shop here. I can spend the whole day here. And some of the women love to do that. I ask my wife, and she's fortunately not like that. Both of us are like, if we get to a shopping mall, it's half an hour and we just want to get out of there again, because we don't like to just spend money on stuff we don't need. I mean, going to the Vryfees on Saturday, I don't know how many of you guys went to the Vryfees now, but you sort of walk around there, and my wife loves to walk around these Boeremark and the Vryfees and stuff. And I enjoy the pancake and the coffee, and then I want to go home again, okay? But I mean, when you look at all these little things that are here, I'm like, it doesn't really excite me too much, okay? I mean, why do I need that thing? There's this weird stuff there, but I guess some people enjoy it, okay? But it's like an environment where it makes you feel, hey, I've got to shop now. This is so comfortable. It's better than just sitting watching rugby, so I must go shop now, But the malls have got it right. Why? Because the atmosphere in the place is right. The temperature's right. There's music that's not playing loudly in your face. It's sort of playing for you, that you can just carry on with your shopping, and it inspires you to just take out more and more money and give your money to them. But you see, we need to prepare the physical space that we can create an environment where people's lives can change. Now, I've asked Mariska to put a photograph up, because someone special is on her way in about 5 or 6 weeks' time. Now, that is physical, holy ground space that we have had to prepare for someone very special that's going to enter our lives very soon. A beautiful little daughter. So now there you can see that there has been effort and thinking and designing that has gone into that room. Okay, it used to be Matthew's room. So we had to do a bit of a change, because Matthew just has other stuff up on his walls, and he's just a little boy with all his cars and toys and stuff. So we had to change the room around a little bit. So we had to put pink on top of the curtains there. I didn't do too much of this. Esther and her mom did this. Little things around the curtains there, little pink things. There's a nice rocking chair for her to sit and feed the baby, and a pillow, and there's some photos up, and there's a nice little pink thing there saying love. Nice little pink mattress cover, and just some little nice little toys for this amazing, beautiful little daughter that's coming into our lives. But you see, this takes a little bit of thinking. The room is not just going to happen. The cot is not just going to put up itself. So there's now another one of the little cot where she's just going to have life there, you see. She's going to have lots of milk to drink whenever she wants to. She's just going to cry, and there's going to be on demand for her. And there's even a little present waiting for her in her room, a little gift for her to say, welcome, we love you. And then even the last one, on her door, even has got her name written already. But you see, that is now holy space. That, and when I, this is actually what inspired me to preach this message as well, is to think this little room that we're preparing for this person is so special for us that she hasn't even come out into the world yet, but already she's just so special. Already we feel like we know her, and we're preparing this room for her, and it's consecrated holy space. But it takes physical thought. It takes, what are we going to do? Put up a name on the door. We're going to put up the pink stuff. We're going to just think a little bit about how to make this room quite nice. And that's not, I'm sure some of your mothers did a much better job than that. But that's fine. We're doing what we want to do, and it's still consecrated space. It's still physical space that we say, Caitlin, this is your room. You can feel special in this room. You can relax, and the peace of God is in this room. You can have life here in this room. Isn't it amazing? So we do that for our kids. We do that for our families. But can't we do it for the little babies that should be born in this church? Because many babies are going to be born in this church. Amen. Do you guys want that? Do we want that? Do we want salvation? Do we want souls to be saved, to be born into this house? Well, then we've got to start to prepare space for them. Because guess what? Not lots of people are getting saved at this stage. Maybe in other churches, maybe somewhere else, but are people getting saved in our church? And we need to ask God for it. We need to desire for it and invite them in. But before we invite them in, we need to say, Lord, let's create an environment where they can give their lives to you, where they can get saved, and where their name is written on that door. Welcome. You are special in this place. We want you to know God, and not to know us. We want you to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then fourthly, we need to check our heart's motives, you see, because as I said, the shopping malls, they just want our money. But yes, they'll create the best environment. They'll create a change conducive environment where you walk in and you know you're going to spend some money there. Or you actually don't know you're going to spend some money. You walk in and then you suddenly start wanting to spend money on stuff that you didn't really need. So they create a change conducive environment. But we need to check our motives, because guess what? It doesn't help us to prepare a great and special room and a special church and a special environment for all our foundations and cell groups, but our heart is just to sort of brag. And we're going to say, look how great we can prepare this room. You know, for Caitlin's room, it's not like it's about us. We're not trying to show, and maybe you think I'm just trying to show that I've got a great room for my daughter. I'm not at all. That room is for her. I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for her. I mean, I don't need to show that I can create a nice room for a girl. But our heart is to bless her, and that she will feel safe, and she will feel like she can live in that room and be blessed there. So it's the same with us. If we're preparing a great space and we're praying, our heart's motives must be ready to bless people, not just to do it because now we've got to pray before the time and anoint the place. No, our heart's motives are to bless people, that we want people to come in and feel special, feel welcome, feel celebrated. And we'll talk about that next week, about the whole thing of reception, receiving people, celebrating them, and you know, presenting life to them. But we need to check our heart's motives for why do we do this. So it's care-driven excellence. It's still excellent. We still got to do it excellently, but not to promote ourselves, not to say, oh, look how good we are. Look how great we can prepare an event. And last year at the conference, I could see and ask Esther about the women's conference she went to as well that they organized. It was truly, everyone felt special. The motives of the people weren't to put on this great event, because if that's your motive, you can work for an events company. They do lots of events, but often that's just to make money. But for us as a church, we must present church and prepare church for the lives of other people, not for ourselves. Not to just feel great like, ooh, look how awesome we were. Good creative team. We put up some nice posters. We made this place look nice. Look how cool we are. Let's do it everywhere. Our heart's motives must be to convey honor and respect to those people that are coming. To really say, you are special. You are the guest of honor here. Because guess what? That person that comes into the door brings Jesus with him or her. So our heart's motives must be checked. Because otherwise, I'd rather not us do it. If our motives aren't right, then it doesn't help. God is not pleased with that. He's pleased with where we love other people and we're doing it to celebrate other people. And then lastly, we need the host team, and that's all of us. Because, you know, in church, we do have a hospitality team or an ushering team. We do have a few people standing at the door and welcoming people. But you know what? That team is not good enough. If there are masses of people coming in, how are three or four people going to connect with every person and make every person feel special? The whole team must be trained. They must be united, focused, motivated, and skilled. It's just like the two of us. When Caitlin comes into our lives, it's not like, oh, I've got other, you know, motives, or I'm not focused because my daughter's coming, so I must just now go on a mission the first week that she's there. We together in this. We know. We prepared. We like, and okay, you're not going to be perfectly skilled. Okay, at least we've had one kid already. So, but my wife knows now how to breastfeed. She knows how to nurse a baby, and it's going to be a challenge. The second one is not the same as the first one. But still, the thing is, we're ready. We're the host team. We're the parents. We're going to welcome this kid, and we're going to just make sure she's very happy as best as we can. So the host team needs to be in place, you see, because we can prepare a venue like this. We can, you know, have the venue prepared for small group or for a course that we're presenting. But if there's no one there to receive the people, they're going to walk in and great, they'll have an encounter with the space. But there needs to be people there as well. The team needs to be ready, united, focused, motivated, and skilled. So, we and in church, I just want to say there is, Billy is heading up the ushering ministry, and whoever wants to get involved to help out welcoming people at the door and to be part of the team that's focused on that for every service, great, we'd love you to be involved. But we'd also like everyone to be ready and to say, we're not here just to meet with our buddies, we're not here just to care, we are really to see other people come in and to see other people's lives change. So let's meet the new people. Let's go and introduce ourselves. Let's just reach out a little bit. But we need to be ready for this. You see, we need to be prepared. If your heart is not prepared to come to church to bless someone else, then you're not going to do it when you walk into this door. You might do it a little bit, but you're not going to be ready to really give of yourself to another person and say, who are you? Where are you from? Welcome. I'd like to get to know you. Have a cup of coffee with me. Let's chat afterwards. The host team needs to be ready. We need to be ready to receive. And we'll talk about that more next week. But that's all I want to say this evening, just before I close, on those five things. And there's many others, but the bottom line is here that we need to still prepare this place. And I believe every meeting that we have, every cell group, every church service, every foundation and Bible school, it's holy ground for God to do what He wants to do. Would you agree with me? Because sometimes we just want things to happen and we just casual about it and yes, let's have a cell meeting and hopefully God will do something. But I believe the Lord's serious about us taking ownership and taking stewardship of what He has given us. And especially this physical building that He's given us. So let's see what we can, let's this last 6 months of the year, let's ask God, how can we really prepare this place? Because I believe the next 6 months of this year is almost sort of still preparation for next year. I believe really next year God wants to do amazing things in us. And He wants to do it now in these next few months. But let us use this as a training ground to really say, Lord, how do you want us to? And maybe we're not going to be in this building next year. Who knows? God knows. But the thing is, we still need to prepare our hearts and say, whatever we have, Lord, the physical space that we have now that You've blessed us with, let us really steward it for Your glory. So to end off with last two scriptures, trust you. Are you still awake this evening? Just shake someone next to you and just check if the person next to you is still awake and give them a high five or something just to make sure they're focused. You see, in Luke 12, verse 47, Jesus is talking and He's telling a parable here about basically stewardship of the end times and stewardship of this whole process of preparing for the king to come back, preparing for the second coming of Jesus. And he says, listen here, you never know when the end is going to come. But he says here in verse 42, he says, who is that faithful and wise steward? So he's talking here about stewardship. And then at the end, he says the following, a bit of a hard word here, but he says, and a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. The New King James Version says, will be beaten with stripes, with many stripes. Sounds like quite a harsh punishment. But what he's trying to say here is he's trying to say, listen here, just be ready. You never know when I'm coming back. You never know when the king is coming back. But just make sure that you are prepared. Because if you're not prepared, there's consequences. I don't know what's going to happen if we're not prepared. But God is faithful and God is just. And He wants to bless us in this. He cannot wait for us to say to Him, Lord, we want to take ownership. We want to take stewardship of what You've given us. So He's just calling us to a higher level of stewardship. And I believe it's just a little bit of a wake-up call for some of us, for me included. I mean, it's challenging sometimes because, as I said, I would like to just have things many times just ticking over and it's cool. We're in a nice controlled environment. But God says, if You want Me to move, you are going to be out of control, believe me. You are not going to be able to control everything. And that is the best place to be, where you are out of control. And we just say, God, start to move. And I give You stewardship. I want to take stewardship, but then, Lord, use just a little bit that I give. But it's time to step out and say, Lord, how do You want us to really know what You want? And we want to be prepared. And then in Hebrews 11, verse 7, talks about Noah. It says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. And then he did the following, prepared an ark. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You see, Noah was a great example of someone who was always prepared. Because why? He first of all walked closely with God. He knew what God was saying in the season that he was in. Everyone else was saying, oh, this is the season of partying and we can just do what we like. And God saw Noah faithful and he started to speak to him. He says, listen here, I want you to build an ark. He walked by faith. He didn't walk by the fear of man. He walked by the fear of the Lord. He walked by faith and not by sight. Not what he saw. Because it didn't look like it was going to rain, but he prepared the ark in accordance with God's commands. And what did he do? He prepared an ark, which what saved these people. It saved his family. And I believe God wants us to prepare an ark. He wants us to prepare a physical building that's going to be for the salvation of many people. Isn't that what church is about? Saints, would you agree with it? That is what we're about. We're not here to just have a comfortable meeting every Sunday. We're truly here to build an ark for the salvation of people out there. And lastly, what it says, it says Noah became the heir of righteousness. He pleased God. And this chapter 11 is talking all about faith. What does the verse just before that say? Anyone know Hebrews 11:6? Who can quote Hebrews 11:6 for me? Who knows more or less what it's about? William, you can your script. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, this is the first guy that they used as an example. And obviously, Abraham is our father of faith and everything. But yeah, it just says, Noah, what did he do? He pleased God. He became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So he walked by faith. He walked by hearing what God's saying and then basically doing it. Isn't that amazing? Same with Luke 12:47. The steward who isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be beaten, will be punished. It talks just about obedience and hearing the voice of God. And that is what God is calling us to at this stage. It's not about what we feel like and what feels popular, feels good. God is just saying, just build me an ark because I can't wait to bless you. I can't wait to send people into your life. I can't wait to send souls is the currency of heaven. Souls. That's what we experienced when we went to Zambia. We experienced just that people there are preparing an ark for God to move. The FCE guys, it's just awesome to see what they're doing. And they have heard God's voice and they've got a specific way of doing things a little bit different to how we do it. But that's fine. That is what they've been told to do by God and they're obedient. And God is starting to bless them, sending the nations to them. And then sending people out again because they're making disciples as well. But there's an ark being prepared then. You can experience it. Ostians, he's been there many times. He's built great relationships with the people. But we can experience that there's been an ark built there. God is starting to move because the people are just saying, Lord, we want to create a space for you. And they've claimed physical ground there. They're owning property. They're going to expand. I know it. They're going to expand into more territory because God is starting to bless them because they've taken stewardship of what already has been given to them. So I believe it's a scary thing. But I mean, if we're not going to be obedient to God and really say, Lord, we want to take stewardship of what you've given us now, God is just going to close us down. He'll use someone else. And I don't want to put the fear, a negative fear on you, but I do want to say, you know, God is serious about his church and he wants to use us and he's going to use us. But are we taking ownership of what he's given us? Are we using the gifts that he's given us to extend his kingdom or are we using it for ourselves? So I want the band to just come up this evening as we just end off. Because I really believe that the Lord wants us just to do business with him again tonight. And in everything we do, the Lord is saying to us, we need to apply this to our homes, apply this to our small groups, apply this to the foundations we have, the Bible school, every event. And obviously the church services, every event that we organize, and we're going to organize some events on campus this semester. I'm really trusting the Lord that we go onto campus and organize a few events that we can really draw people in. But even in that, we say, Lord, the space that we use, whatever venue we get there, or even in this church, if we have an event here, Lord, we want you to come and fill this atmosphere with your grace and your presence here, that you can change lives, Lord. We're not just going to have an event and see how few people come and go again and that's it. We're going to really prepare for it. We're going to say, Lord, even if we have intercession teams before the time or whatever, but we're going to do everything really by prayer and by faith and say, God, we want you to have your way in this place. Because if we don't, we might just become another religion. Lots of churches, nice church buildings, but is there life happening in every church? And that is the challenge for us. Are we going to really present life? Or are we just going to become another religion where things just tick over? Because it's easy to do that. It's very easy. But if we do, I believe that we're going to prepare an ark for many souls. So the question I want to ask tonight again is, are you prepared to help prepare the holy place? Are you prepared to help prepare the holy space? Let's all close our eyes this evening. Lord, we thank you that you've called us, Lord, to this thing of hospitality, Lord. And Lord, it's more than what we thought it is, Lord. It's so much more. It's your heart, Lord. Your heart is a heart of hospitality. You are excited for souls. You're excited for people, Lord. You're excited for us tonight, Lord. I thank you that you are truly excited for each and every one of us this evening, Lord. And that you have brought us to this place, Lord. You have taken us, Lord, from darkness into light. And you have spoken to us tonight, Lord. And some of us, even tonight, you've, for the first time, you've spoken a word into our life tonight, Lord. So, Lord, tonight we just want to respond to what you're saying this evening, God. I thank you that your presence is here and that you're excited, God, for the fruit that is going to come from our lives, God, because it's you who's building your church. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are indeed the builder of this church. And we can give it to you, Lord. But as we give it to you, Lord, we ask that you would also, Lord, give us the wisdom as to how to steward this holy space that you have called us to prepare, God. This physical building, God, and the physical buildings where we have small group, Lord, every event that we as Shofar here in Bloemfontein, Lord, that we organize and that we, Lord, consecrate to you, I pray that we will just take ownership and take serious, Lord, the space that you've given us, God. Even our homes and our reses, God, where you've provided for us, Lord, rooms and places to stay, God, I pray that you would use us, Lord, to make a change there where we are, God, and to consecrate this place that we're in to your glory, Lord. Thank you that it is all about you, Jesus. But I thank you tonight that you have spoken to all of us very specifically tonight, Lord. And I thank you that you're inspiring us also to, Lord, to take it to the next level, Lord. Where many of us have got involved and we're doing our best, Lord. But I thank you that even our best, Lord, you want to multiply that. You want to multiply what we've given, the little seed that we've already given. You want to change that and create something great out of it, Lord. And those of us who are inspired tonight to just give and to start to give of ourselves for the first time, I thank you that you will indeed use all of our faith, God. Whatever faith we put in the table, you will use it, Lord. You're not going to reject any person's offering tonight, Lord, of themselves. So I just want to ask, while all our eyes are closed, and if you're a believer, if you can pray in the Spirit, just pray right now in the Spirit. I want to ask, if you have never come to Jesus, because it's all very well talking about building his house, but you are not even a builder yet. You haven't come to even take ownership of anything because you're not in the space. You're not in that holy space yet. You have not even been called as a builder yet because you don't know the master builder. You don't know the one who is the Savior of the world. You don't know Jesus this evening. Then I want to give you an opportunity, because guess what? You are not here by chance. God prepared this place for you. God prepared this space for you tonight. God has organized this moment especially for you. Tonight, I want to say, especially for you. Tonight was prepared for you. And then I want to ask that you be very bold tonight. If you know that you don't have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you know about him. You know about Jesus Christ, but you've never come into relationship. You cannot hear his voice. You're not led by the shepherd, the great shepherd. Then tonight is your opportunity just to give over to the Lord Jesus tonight. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've just got caught up in religion. Then I want you to be honest tonight and just to say, Alistair, I would love you to pray with me, because I want to come back to Jesus this evening. I want to come back to his plan for my life, because I've been running around trying to sort out my own life, trying to fix my life, and it's just failure after failure after failure. And Jesus is saying tonight, just come to me. Just come to me this evening. Is there anyone like that? I want you to be very bold. Just stick up your hand. It's not about you tonight. It's about Jesus. You actually saying, Jesus, here's my life. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand this evening. Is there anyone else? Anyone else tonight? God bless you, brother. Thank you for that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone tonight? You just want to make right with Jesus. Maybe you've got relationship with Him, but you can't hear His voice. You just want to come back to Him this evening. You just want to say, Lord, I want to hear you. I give you my life. I want to hear you again because I've tried to run my own life. Then just put up your hand this evening. Is there anyone else this evening? You just want to give your life to the Lord. It's the most important decision of your life. You know, I'm married and marriage is awesome and to have a wife is amazing. But I always knew that marriage and choosing the right life partner was the second best decision of my life because the best is to know the lover of my soul, Jesus Christ Himself. So is there anyone else tonight? Last opportunity. You just want to come back to the Lord tonight. I want to ask us all just to stand this evening. Let us all stand. And then as we stand, I want to ask you guys to be bold. You guys that put up your hand, I want you to come and meet me right here in the front because I want to pray for you. Stand. And then those guys who put up your hand, just come boldly this evening and just come and meet me right at the front because I want to pray a prayer over you and I want you to just say, yes, my life, Lord. Just be bold. Thanks, Jason. Thank you, brother. Let's just give them a hand as they come forward because they're making the most important decision of their lives. You can just face me. Just turn to me. And I want some facilitators just to come pray with you guys. What's your name, sorry? Mark. It's Mark and Jason. Eh? You guys are making the most important decision of your life. Do you know that? Because you have stepped out from the darkness into light this evening. Do you know that, Jason? You have made a decision and God is going to start to use you. Mark, I believe God is saying to you tonight that He's going to make all things new. He's already made all things new. He's starting to make all things new. And you know what? He's going to make your life a song. You're going to start to sing to people, okay? You've had a desire for music even, and God is going to start to use you to sing. Your life is going to be a song for the Lord. And you, Jason, the Lord's raising you up as a mighty leader. But just remember who your leader is. Tonight you've met the shepherd of your soul. Okay, so you guys are going to pray with me a prayer. You're just going to consecrate your life to the Lord. You're going to pray after me. And then I'm going to have just a facilitator pray after you. Just take you aside and just explain what has happened tonight. But we're going to all pray together with these two guys. Are you guys ready this evening? This is exciting times, church. So let's all pray together. You guys just pray after me and you're just going to give your life to the Lord, okay? So just close your eyes and focus on the Lord tonight. Say, Father God, let's all pray together. Father God, I come to you this evening. I realize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus, I thank you that you died very specially for me. And I give you my life tonight. I repent of my sin. All my sin. I turn away from it. And I turn to you. Tonight, Lord, take my life. I thank you, Jesus, for abundant life in you. And I receive it. Just because I believe tonight and I confess, Jesus, that you are the Son of God and that you died for me. Thank you. Thank you for my gifts and talents. And I ask you, Lord, to use them for your glory. Let my life glorify you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you guys tonight, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, then you will be saved. Because you've believed that Jesus is the only one that can save you guys. And even if you've made a recommitment, I want to say that from this moment on, you will not backslide again. You will not turn to darkness again. The Lord is going to take you if you're serious about Him, okay? Because He's very serious about the commitment you've made. But it's important to know that you've stepped into a war. You've stepped into a war because the devil is still going to try and get you down. The devil is going to still try and get you to do the wrong things. And you know what? Salvation is a process. And I want to invite you guys. We're having a perspective seminar on the 5th of August. Sorry, first weekend in August. We're going to teach you about these things. So please come. But the important thing is also to join a small group and to get involved with the fellowship because that's where you guys are going to grow. Okay, but Tad is going to take you guys. And if I can just have someone else, some other guy who can pray, Martin, asseblief, as jy net vorentoe to kan kom en net vir hom bid asseblief. If you guys can just go with Tad and Martin, and they've got a little brochure for you as well, and they're just going to pray with you and explain to you what has just happened. Okay, but Jason, God bless you. Mark, God bless you guys. Thanks for your response. God is so pleased. Isn't it amazing when people's lives respond to the fullness of God? This is what God is excited about, is people responding to Him. But I believe God wants us all to close our eyes this evening. I'm not going to call anyone else forward, but I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to respond. If you're serious tonight about helping prepare this holy space that God has given us, if you want to make yourself available to be used by God to make this place, this church, not only this physical building, but all the physical spaces that we're in, but just more than that, your heart, because we cannot do this out of works. You need to do it out of your heart. And God wants to do a miracle in your heart this evening, if you're serious about it. So I want, while all our eyes are closed, I want you to do business with the Lord this evening. If you're serious about preparing a place and helping prepare a place for God's glory, then I want you to put up your hand and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want all my gifts and my talents to be focused on used, be used by your kingdom. So if you're serious about that tonight, if you want to be used by God, I can tell you the truth is that God is going to use you if you're serious, because you're doing this to him, not to me. I'm not even going to know who put up their hand this evening. I'm not going to look. I don't want to see. I just want God to see, because he's going to start to use you. So if you're serious, just put up your hand very high. If you want to be used by God to help build the ark and prepare this holy place, then I want you to pray this prayer after me. Let's all pray together. As you put up your hand, you're doing this to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight as the great shepherd, the lover of my soul. Lord, you know me intimately. You know my gifts. You know my desires. Lord, and I give you my life this evening, that you can use me, Lord, as a wise steward, Lord, to help prepare the holy ground that you've given me to claim. And Lord, I give you my heart this evening. Lord, I want you to, in my heart, to do a miracle right now. Lord, I want you to use me in ways that I didn't even imagine. Lord, stretch my capacity. Lord, give me creative ways that I can prepare the space for your people, Lord. Because, Lord, I have brothers and sisters out there that don't know you. And, Lord, I want to help prepare a place for them. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every commitment tonight. I thank you that you take us seriously, Lord, including myself, God. Lord, I also want to lay down, God, just the sometimes the same old, the routine, Lord, of life. And Lord, I ask that we'll all, God, seek your face in this way, Lord, that we can prepare, Lord, an amazing place, God, that people can encounter you. Lord, it's not about the space, Lord, but it's about the motive behind it. And we, Lord, desire that souls will come to salvation, God. Souls will come to an encounter with you, Lord, that we, in every small group, in every meeting that we have, Lord, that there will be a change, conducive atmosphere, that people will come in and say, but I feel at home. This is where I want to be. I've come home. And so I thank you that we can build a home just like you're busy building us a home in heaven. Lord, I thank you that we can also turn away from the things of the world. And I sense the Lord is going to challenge us on this, to turn away from the things of the world and to prioritize just his kingdom in this time. Because guess what? He's prepared mansions for us. He's prepared amazing stuff for us, saints. And we need to get excited about it. So we can just prepare other people that they can also have that assurance that they're going to be in heaven one day with the Lord. So I'm going to dismiss the meeting now. The band is just going to minister a song. And just, if you do want to care, please do it outside. There's like a coffee and tea for you guys, and meet some new people. Go to someone you've never met before and just say, welcome. Good to see you. Ask someone just something about them, what excites them. But if you do need to spend the time with the Lord, please do that. Just allow God to just continue what he started in your life. Because I know he's done amazing things tonight. So just allow him to do that, okay? But the Lord bless you. I just want to pray a prayer over you, and then you're welcome to go. Father, I thank you for this week. I thank you for your saints to just, Lord, endure, God, the challenges. And to, Lord, look up at you all the time, Lord. And to see you leading them, God. I thank you for your people, Lord. Your special people. Your chosen generation, Lord. The holy priesthood. I thank you for every one of them that have come tonight to hear your word. I pray that you would give them a desire, Lord, to seek more of you in this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you for those who are starting class tomorrow. I pray your blessing over them, Lord, that they would prosper in what they do. That they would have a desire to also, Lord, in what they learn, to use that for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody says,